Jesus is the most talked about person in the whole of history. Would you agree with that statement? It probably is, isn't he? I mean, everybody has an opinion on who they think that Jesus is. Some people would say that he doesn't exist, that he's just a figment of our imagination. Other people would say that, yeah, he might have existed, but actually he was kind of just a madman. He was just, and at very best, if he wasn't a madman, then he was probably just a good man. Other people may say that Jesus actually is more than just the word that I use when I hurt myself and hit myself with a hammer or something, and I just shout his name because that's just what I do. But there's others who would say that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is Saviour, that he is healer, that he is our protector, that he is our provider, and many other things. I wonder who this morning you say that Jesus is. It's my delight this morning to be able to continue our current teaching series called Jesus. Very simple, but we've been looking at the last few weeks over, we've been looking at the life, the teaching of Jesus, and the encounter that Jesus had with normal human beings. Are you normal this morning? Are you normal? Are you a normal human? Yeah, good. Jesus had encounters with normal people. Jesus wants to have encounters with us. Jesus healed people physically. He healed people mentally. He did miracles. He spoke into people's circumstances. And the truth is that he did it back then in the Bible and in the scriptures that we read, but he also does that today. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus wants to encounter you today? You see, encounters with Jesus are something that we should be seeking to encounter for ourselves. It's something that you should want, it's something that you should want to desire, because being and knowing Jesus is life-changing. It shapes our character, it draws us closer to God, and it gives us purpose, new purpose. But simply, an encounter with Jesus changes everything. An encounter with Jesus changes everything. Whatever your opinion of Jesus or view of Jesus is this morning, whatever reason you find yourself in church today, I believe if we honestly open our hearts to him, give Jesus a chance to speak, he will speak to you. He speaks through his word. He speaks through other people at times. He speaks through prayer. He speaks through so many different things. But often we miss what he has to say because we're not tuned in. Let's tune ourselves in this morning. This morning, our time together, I want us to look at a particular encounter that Jesus had that you will know really, really well. If you've been in church for any number of years, you'll know this encounter really, really well. But how many of us know that every time we come to a scripture, even if we've read it so many times, we can learn something new? Today, I believe as we look at this scripture together, we will learn something new together. So I want to look at Jesus' encounter that he had with Peter and with the other disciples at the Passover meal when Jesus washed his disciples' feet. When Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Let's read the scriptures together. I'm sure that you all know it's found in John chapter 13. But John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17 is what we're going to be reading together. So if you've got your Bible, or you've got a tablet, or you've got a phone, or you've got any other device, look at it with me as we read together.
it says these words. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you'll never ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who is bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so." I've just lost my way. "And you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I've done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." May God bless his word to our hearts this morning as we continue through this journey. So Jesus and his disciples, they're gathered in a room together at the time of the Passover celebration. Jews at the time would gather together with other Jews, they would gather and they would celebrate the time when Jesus and when Moses led the Israelites out of the slavery into the wilderness and eventually into the promised land. But this year, for Jesus and his disciples, it was going to be really different. The disciples didn't know really it was going to be different, but Jesus knew it was going to be different. Jesus knew that things were about to change radically. Everything was coming to a climax. Little did the disciples know that this time that they would have with Jesus would be one of their last times together before he would go to the cross. Verse 1 tells us that Jesus knew that his hour had come. The hour had come to leave the world and to return to his Father. What was to come for Jesus would have been one of the most lonely and painful experiences that anyone could ever experience. He would be betrayed. He'd be stabbed in the back. He would be left all alone. He would have been beaten. He'd be spat upon, and then he'd been made a public spectacle as he was going to be placed upon a cross in front of everybody, treated like a common criminal. Everything that Jesus had done in the previous 3 years of ministry had led to this point that they were now in. All of his teachings, all of his miracles, all of the healings would make sense very soon to the disciples. I don't think we can possibly begin to imagine what Jesus would have felt and the pressure that he would have been under as he entered that room, that upper room, with his disciples for that final time. You could probably forgive Jesus at that moment to kind of be in his own head, to not really take notice of what's going around.
Can you imagine that? If you face a tough situation and you've been with people, but you're not really there. You're there in person, but you're somewhere else. Your mind is somewhere else. You're thinking about something else. You can imagine that Jesus
could quite easily have been like that. You would have forgiven him, wouldn't you? For kind of having his heart and his head somewhere else. The pressure was ramping up, and the knowledge of what was to come was becoming all too clear.
Yet, where was his focus? His focus wasn't on what was to come. His focus was on that moment with the disciples in that very room.
He had such a great love for his disciples. They were more than just students. They were his friends. They were like brothers to him. And here he was. He'd done life with them for the last 3 years. They'd shared in his ups and downs. He loved each and every one of them. Verse 1 tells us this. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth. And now he loved them to the very end. What's more, what was to come in these next verses, to come during after the mealtime, would shape many of the disciples' experiences, would shape their character, would shape what was to come for them, particularly for Peter. The scene is set. Jesus and his disciples are reclining at the table. They were more. They were just there. They were eating together. There's likely to have been much noise as they chat together. It's likely there's kind of even a slight edge to the proceedings. Why? Because we know from a separate account from Luke 22, verse 23 and 24, that Jesus had said that one of them would betray him. This had caused much discussion amongst the disciples, to the point that the disciples began to debate who was the greatest. Who was the greatest in their gathering? Who was the greatest amongst them? It was at this moment that Jesus did something really unexpected. While the disciples had debated amongst themselves, Jesus gets up from the table. And he walks over to where there's a jug, where there's a basin. A jug and a basin. It probably wouldn't be a basin like this, but it would be a basin nonetheless. What's he do? He takes it, he takes off his outer garment. He wraps a tea towel around his waist. And he starts to do something really strange, isn't it? He did well, they might have already been off. And they wouldn't have had socks on either. But that's okay. And he brought over the basin and the water. He would have had a microphone, so he would have to put it down if he did so, because they actually put it. And he begins to wash. I don't have a towel. He would have been much more prepared than I was at this particular moment. But you get the point.
Thank you.
And he began to wash the disciples' feet. Now you've got to remember something about this. My wife's feet are very clean. But at the time, the disciples' feet were really, really dirty. Does someone just want to hand me the mic? Can you just hand me the mic?
Yeah, otherwise I won't be here on the recording.
I'll hold it for you.
Oh, look at that. That's nice. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Oh. So at the time, when Jesus went to each of the disciples, building a hard wall. You know, so as he's kind of doing, he's not just clean, he's clean between the toes, he's getting out that gunk. You know, I'm kind of guessing it was kind of smelly. It was kind of smelly, kind of awful. What was interesting was, is that actually for the disciple, what was usually happening is that when they came in from a trip, there would be a servant that was at the door. And the servant would get down on their knees, and they'd do a bit like I'm doing now, for my wife's feet hurting. And they would start to wash the feet. So Jesus doing this, it was unheard of. You know, because the person who actually washed people's feet wasn't just the servant, but it was the lowest of the low. It was the one where actually you could do that, you're the worst servant of the one, you could do that, go to the stinky feet. But nobody had done that when they walked in. There was no servant. We don't know whether Jesus had pre-prepared that, or whether there was just no servant. So he did that. He went between each one. Can you begin to imagine what the disciples have thought? Because not our teacher would never, ever, ever wash someone's feet. And how would he expect his disciples to wash his feet? Just one done. But he was doing something that was just so alien to them that yet would have had a purpose. Can you imagine what they must have felt? I kind of think they must have felt a little bit embarrassed. You know, maybe they turned their face away. You know, because not only was it just pre as they came in, but they had a meal together, and when they reclined at the table, feet were in people's faces, and they all laid down, and they would be head to toe, and all that. And there would have been a lot of smell going on there. I don't know. I don't particularly have the best smelling feet in the world. I certainly wouldn't poke them in my good wife's face. But you can imagine just the smell of it. You can imagine just the awfulness of that. If you're online,
I was just washing my wife's feet. I'm sorry, I should have probably just turned stuff around. But it was totally unexpected. That chatter would have started and would have been in the room would have suddenly died. You could probably have heard just a pin drop as they saw Jesus going around doing those things. Verse 3 to 5 of our reading says these words. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he'd come from God and returned to God. So he got up from the table, wrapped a towel around his waist and poured water into the basin. As we've said already, they perhaps felt embarrassed, turned their faces away. Perhaps they felt shocked or ashamed. Perhaps they didn't know where to look. Because Jesus, their teacher, the man they looked up to, was doing the job of a menial servant. It's the worst of the worst for a servant, that job. And what's more, is you can probably imagine at that particular moment that Jesus was kind of enjoying the moment. He's probably looking at them. We don't know what was going through Jesus' mind, but maybe as he went from disciple to disciple, maybe he was picturing those times that he had with each of the disciples. Moments of encounters that he had. Moments of faith that was shown. Special moments that Jesus had with each of his disciples. So that is the moment that we've just done. That Jesus then comes, and I think he's probably one of the last people, you can probably imagine that Peter was looking down the line as each one was down, like, Jesus ain't going to do my thing. You know, I'll forget, or if he does come to me and ask me, I'll tell him what's what. I'll tell him what he needs to know. And it's at this moment in verse 6, Peter looks at Jesus as he comes along. He says, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? As Peter says those words, you can imagine the air getting sucked out of the room. all the disciples before him had accepted of what Jesus had done, even if they didn't understand what was happening. But now Peter, he wanted to know what Jesus was up to. And you can probably imagine the disciples going, "Oh, Peter, not again. Not again. Are you really going to question Jesus again? How did that turn out for you last time, and the time before, and the time before that? How is it going to go?" Peter was horrified. He was indignant at what this friend, that his friend was doing to wash people's feet. And he was determined to save Jesus from any further humiliation. Jesus replied to Peter when he said, "Are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus says, "You don't understand now what I'm going to do, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never ever wash my feet." It gets worse, doesn't it? Not only does he ask Jesus the question, but he refuses and said, "No, you will never ever wash my feet." This was getting really embarrassing. Perhaps you can imagine the disciples just kind of holding, bowing their heads, just trying to say, "I'm not with him." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon exclaimed, "Then wash my hands, my head as well, Lord, not just my feet, do the whole lot." Jesus replied, "A person who's bathed all over does not need a wash, except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, though not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him. After washing their feet, he put his robe on again, sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I'm doing?" Look, it doesn't actually say it in the scripture specifically. It would seem that after that pretty intense standoff, Peter did indeed have his feet washed. So what can we learn from this encounter? What can we learn that Jesus, what can we learn from the encounter Jesus had with Peter and the other disciples? How can we apply this really simple illustration of what Jesus did to our own lives? Well, I believe there are two things. If you make notes, there are two things that you want to perhaps write down. The first one is this. We all need to be clean. We all need to be clean. Why do you think that Jesus got down on his hands and knees to clean his disciples' feet? Was it because he couldn't stand the smell or the sight of their smelly feet? After all, they'd been travelling all day to get to this time. No one had washed their feet, and they'd just been reclining with each other whilst they ate. It's clearly a health and safety issue for them at the time, those smelly feet. Did he do it for that? Oh, no, he didn't do it for that. Although it was needed and a nice thing to do, it was more than just a physical act of a kind man. Jesus was talking about the need for a person's heart to be clean. A person's heart to be clean. There are two parts to having a heart that is truly clean. There's the first one I would call the deep clean. We would know Jean, Fred, myself, Mavis, John. We would know the word deep clean. Because over the last few months, as part of COVID protocols, we've had to do a deep clean before we started, and we've had to do lots and lots of cleaning. But in the context of what Jesus is talking about with the deep clean is this, it's the initial understanding and acceptance of your need to ask God to forgive you for the things you've done wrong. And believing that what Jesus did on the cross by becoming the sinless sacrifice, so you might be made clean and free. And I would imagine that most people in this room, because I know most people in this room, have had that moment when they've had the deep clean from Jesus, the deep clean that he was talking about. It's a transaction of the old life for a new life. Life instead of death. Hope instead of shame. With Jesus you find life. Without him there's only darkness, death, and the reality of hell, and a lost eternity away from Jesus. Jesus said, when he was talking with Peter, that Peter didn't need to have that deep clean, that there was some in the midst that did. Jesus was referring to Judas. Judas allowed sin to take over. That's why Jesus says in verse 11 of our reading, not all of you are clean. Can you imagine what that must have been like for Jesus to enter into that room, knowing exactly what was going to happen? Knowing that one of his closest friends and confidants was actually going to betray him. I know there's some of us here today that perhaps have been betrayed by those that we love, perhaps have been led to him. So perhaps you do know a little bit. Difficult, isn't it? Difficult. A little later in chapter 13, Jesus says in verse 21, which we've not read, he says, now Jesus was greatly troubled, and he exclaimed, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. And then in verse 26, he said, it's the one to whom I give the bread I dip in the bowl. And when he dipped it, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. Judas had been plotting to hand Jesus over to the teachers of the law in return for money. He was part of the inner circle of Jesus' friends, but his heart didn't belong to Jesus. He wasn't truly clean. Then the second part of this process of being clean, Jesus walking, learning this encounter, is what I like to call the check and clean. The check and clean. You see, Jesus talks about the fact that there is a need for us to continually be clean. It's not that all over head to toe that Peter was imagining. Well, my head, not my, just my fingers, my head and my hands as well. The completeness, the complete clean. But Peter didn't need that. Those who belong to Jesus don't need that deep clean after they've had it once. What I tell you is that we do need to have the check and clean moments in our lives. Peter only saw the physical act of what Jesus was doing and the physical need to be clean perhaps, but Jesus was showing him and the disciples something deeper. Peter was already clean, as I said. He'd already accepted Jesus. If you remember in Matthew 16, verse 16, Peter even says to Jesus, when the question came up, who do you say I am? Jesus says, you are the, Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He knew who Jesus was, but he needed to have the check and clean moments. Jesus said to Peter in verse 8, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. If we know Jesus as Lord and Saviour this morning, then we are clean. But I tell you what, we still have that opportunity to get dirty. My kids, when they go to bed, they are clean. When they wake up in the morning, generally they are clean. But at some point during that day, there will be moments when they get dirty, particularly the boys that enjoy rolling around in mud quite often. Doing different things, getting chocolate all over the place. They need to be clean. Because if I sent them to school all dirty, I'm sure I would soon get a phone call from the school saying, what are you not doing? You're not cleaning your chair. Those moments for all of us, we need to check that we're clean. It's not that we're lost. It's not that we turn from God, but we just need to be clean so we can live in true fullness and purpose. Because sometimes the ways of the world just get on us. The mud, the situations that we do, the times perhaps when we don't do right and perhaps we sin. We need to come before God and we need to ask him to come and clean us again, so we can live in the true fullness and purpose.
When was the last time, if you were honestly to think about it, when was the last time that you asked God for that checking clean? When was the last time you came to Him and said, God, do you know what? I know that I'm not in the right place at the moment. I know perhaps that actually there's things in this world that are really distracting me, and I just need to be made clean again. And this is not to kind of make anybody feel bad. This is about us having open, honest communication with God. Secondly, is this. This is our drawing to a close. The second point we can learn from this is about serving with delight. Serving with delight. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, it was a moment of service, but He did it with delight. He wanted to do it. Nobody told Jesus to go and do it. He wanted to do it. He wanted to teach them something. But it's also a special moment between Him and the person He washed his feet. I'm not sure what Erica felt about me washing her feet, but it's kind of like that moment. It's a one-on-one moment. Yes, in this particular case, it's in front of everybody as well. But it's one of those moments. For Jesus, there was great delight in serving. All Peter saw was a teacher who was doing something that made him feel uncomfortable and went against culture. He was embarrassed because he didn't understand what Jesus was trying to do or say. But Jesus was far from embarrassed, far from ashamed. He took great delight in serving Peter and the others. The disciples earlier, as we've said, had been arguing about who was the greatest. And in his simple acts, Jesus showed that if he wanted to be truly great and truly make a difference in God's kingdom, look no further than being a humble servant. In God's kingdom, there's no hierarchy. No one is greater than anybody else. Jesus had all the authority of heaven and earth at his disposal, but he did what was unexpected. Jesus gives this simple yet at times such challenging task of serving. To serve where you are. To serve means to follow his example. Verse 15 of our reading says, I've given you an example to follow, do as I've done to you. Sometimes Jesus may ask you and I to do something that goes against what society says, or it may make you feel slightly uncomfortable. But following Jesus' call is always best. To serve those in need will always please God's heart. And God will only ever ask you to do things that he knows you can do with his help and what he would do, because he has shown us the way. Secondly, as part of serving, the delight of serving is about learning to put other people first, others before yourself. Philippians 2, 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not only look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Serving will often require you, the delight of serving requires us to put others' needs before our own. It might make you feel embarrassed, it might make you feel ashamed or indignant, but remember what we're doing it for, who we're doing it for as we serve. We're doing it to honour and glorify Jesus. There is a great delight in serving our God. How can you and I serve God today? What is it that you can do? It might be the simplest of tasks. But look for those opportunities. The final part of serving with delight is actually allowing people at times to serve us. The hardest bit about serving can sometimes be allowing people to serve us. Peter found it really difficult to allow Jesus to serve him. It was something, you're going to really wash my feet, Jesus. I don't really want that. I guess it's a pride thing at times. we're okay about serving people, but we don't like the thought of someone else serving us. But you can't really be a servant if you're not willing to just serve as well as be served yourself. Perhaps we don't feel like we deserve being served. I can imagine it was hard for people, for Peter to see Jesus serving. Why do we find it so difficult? I guess it's because perhaps at times we don't see our value in the same way God sees us. Jesus serves you because he loves you. In the same way we should serve him and others with love through our actions and our words. And with this I finish. It amazes me from this encounter that Jesus had with Peter, that in the midst of his own turmoil, let's remember that, in the midst of his turmoil, right at the beginning that we read, everything that was to come just a few hours later, he would take his last moments of freedom to spend time with the friends he loved and to teach them a lesson that would stand them in good stead for the rest of their lives. Jesus washing the disciples' feet was more than an act of kindness, but was one that would teach us two important messages, that in order to be connected to Jesus, our hearts need to be clean. And that actually there is great delight in being able to serve others because we bring glory to God. Peter and the other disciples went into ministry after Jesus had died and his resurrection, and they saw the kingdom of God built, and they served others. They performed miracles. They kept short accounts with God. They preached the gospel and continually served. And so as we finish, may we choose today to keep short accounts with God so we can be clean. And may we make it our choice to serve others with love and delight. The love and delight that comes with knowing Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we?